You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for August 12, 2008. Hackers are people too. Welcome to the program. I'm Rob Westervelt. In this edition, we'll be talking with Ashley Schwartu. Ashley is the writer and producer of Hackers Are People Too, a new documentary about the hacking community that sets to put light on the human side of the hacker community. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So this documentary, Hackers Are People Too, it debuted at DEF CON 16 in Las Vegas. Why don't we start off with the inspiration for the film?
Well, I was a digital media student at the University of Central Florida. I just graduated, finally. And last spring, I was getting ready to go to ShmooCon. It was the first time I'd gone to another hacker convention other than DEF CON, and I was going to get to visit some friends, but I was going to be missing class. So I went up to my professor to turn in something and say, hey, I'm going to be missing class. We're going to a convention. And she goes, oh, what kind of convention? I said, oh, it's a hacker convention called ShmooCon. And she got really wide-eyed and dramatic and was like, a hacker convention? What do they do there? And I was like, well, it's a convention, like where they learn and share ideas. And she's like, but do they break into the government and do they break into bank accounts and make viruses? And I was like, yeah, and they're vampires? I was just really astounded that this idea of a hacker was still, you know, like believed. And so I started telling people about it when I went to ShmooCon, and they're like, well, no one really knows what a hacker is. You do, because you've been part of the scene for so long, but, you know, in the media, it's so negatively portrayed that no one knows. And so I was like, well, what about documentaries? Are there any out there? And there haven't been any in, like, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so being so interested in editing, I wasn't learning any editing in school, and I needed a project to teach myself. And so I said, what if I did one? And everyone started being really supportive about it, and then I asked my dad, hey, can I borrow some money? And it kind of just started last summer.
There must have been some challenges for you, and especially that, you know, the hacker community, they're often very skeptical people.
Oh, yeah.
So what was that like?
Well, considering the fact that I was just a student and, you know, hadn't really done any big projects before, I did receive a whole lot of, oh, well, it probably won't go anywhere, or, oh, I bet that won't really be very good. But as I was making it, like when I finally sat down to start editing, in my head I kept having, oh, God, the hackers are going to be the first people to see this. It has to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of kept, like, repeating that to myself, like, they have to like it. That's the group that it has to impress. Like, I don't care what anyone else thinks. I want them to like it.
Sure. What was the feedback that you got from DEF CON?
It was overwhelmingly positive. Like, right after the screening, which was Friday night, I went up on stage to, like, say a couple of thank yous, and everyone was standing and clapping. And there were a few hundred people in the room. It was kind of scary. But, and then when I was sitting at the booth over the 3 days selling DVDs, everyone who came up was just like, great film, I really liked it. One guy said, oh, it's the best documentary I've ever seen. So yeah, everyone just seemed to really like it, and a lot of people thanked me for making the movie, I guess, to like thank me for putting out the positive image. One guy even said that it was like a love letter to the hacker community, and it was an obviously loving portrayal of the group of people. And it's true, I really do love the community, and that's why I want to make it.
Sure, and you sold, what, 600 copies?
Yes.
Of the DVD in just a few days, right?
Yeah, I think we didn't get an exact count. But it was around 600, and I gave away a whole bunch of, like, for swag for different contests and stuff like that. And this morning, I woke up, and I had 10 orders from the website sitting in my email.
Oh, that's cool. So you should be able to pay back your dad pretty soon, right?
Yes. If not already, I think we're very, very close to breaking even. And then afterwards, obviously, the other money is going to be used to, if we do another run, which I would really like to do, including other languages. We ultimately want to donate some money to the Hacker Foundation and the EFF, both of which were very supportive when we were making the movie.
So let's talk a little bit about the movie. I mean, how easy was it or difficult was it to actually pick the brain of some hackers and get them to speak pretty frankly about what they do and how they feel about what they do?
Well, totally. I have 22 hours of interview footage, and while that sounds like a lot, it was really hard to get people to sit down and talk to me because I was walking around DEF CON, granted with a press badge, but still with a camera, and I guess that's kind of intimidating. And so we must have asked, 100 people, like, hey, would you mind giving us an interview? Because we kind of just want to get, average Joe Schmo who comes to the HackerCon, not just famous hackers, but, average everyday hackers. And a lot of people were like, no, are you crazy? I'm not going to talk about that on camera. I guess because a lot of people had been manipulated in the past. And sure. So a lot of the people that we interviewed have been people I'd either known in the past or that, I guess, knew who I was and so who trusted me. Once we got people to sit down and talk, I let them look at the questions ahead of time. And it was all more about questions about what hacking meant to them, what it was to be a hacker, what it meant to be part of the community, how the community has changed over here. So it was less technical. I wasn't asking them, like, what have you hacked, trying to get bad stories about them. It was more about the community and the culture and how it felt to be part of it. So I think that loosened up a lot of people when it came to question answering.
Sure. Give us some examples of what some people said.
Well, one of the questions I asked was, what other groups could you compare hackers to, or give us some examples of non-computer hackers? And a couple of the people, and these are some of the answers that are in the movie. People compared hackers to inventors like Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Edison, the Wright brothers. And one of the guys is even like, some guy made a rock into a wheel. They hacked at that rock, both literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy compares hackers to being the white blood cells of society. It's a hard job, and he doesn't expect people to like hackers for doing it, but someone's got to do it. They also talk about how hackers are the ones who make it safe for everyday people to go online. They make it safe for you to buy stuff at Amazon and to do online bank transactions. So they're trying to show some, real-world examples of hackers finding vulnerabilities in software and making it safer for computer users to use the Internet. There's a whole section in the movie about hackers being kids and women, because I'm sure, as you've noticed over the years, there aren't that many girls.
Yeah, you see a lot of guys going through the hallways of Black Hat.
Yeah, so one of my goals was to interview as many women in the scene as possible.
That's cool.
And I think I got 6 of them in the movie. but I really wanted to get a female perspective because it is so heavily populated with males. And they all talk about the difficulties they've had over the years, trying to break away from, oh, she must be a scene whore, she's just a girl, to breaking their way into the security world. And then also talking about how maybe one of the problems they had is that as kids, girls aren't really encouraged to play with computers or to take things apart. They're more encouraged to play with dolls and, makeup. And so over the years, it's more the boys who are honed for this way of thinking, the hacker mentality. So there's a whole section that talks about that.
These hackers now, how do they make money? These guys aren't, and gals, are not just necessarily hacking for a living, right?
Well, a lot of them do, I guess, security consulting, penetration testing. A lot of them asked me to put security engineer as their job title because it's a simple description. But technically, I guess what a lot of them do is hacking for a living because they're testing systems, they're finding the weaknesses, and they're helping their companies make their products better. And that is a lot of what hacking is. Well, not all of them do security for a living. There was one girl I interviewed, and she considers herself a maker. And I don't remember if she worked for Make Magazine or not, but she is like a graphic artist who also, she makes the anti-RFID pouches out of garbage bags and tinfoil. Okay. So she isn't necessarily a computer hacker, but she kind of hacks through life, I guess. And a couple other people, they've just been part of the scene, but they're not necessarily, programmers or computer people.
You went into this thinking that, the hacking community, they are normal, everyday people trying to do a job to protect us. Did you come across any surprises when interviewing these people?
Well, I went in expecting it to be very, I know these people. I've been coming to HackerCon since I was 16, and I'm 23 now, so 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend that I took with me to DEF CON last year, she had never, I guess, met a hacker or didn't know that she had, and she didn't really know what to expect. And so her name is Amanda Shapiro, and she did a lot of my audio work for me. she constantly remarks on, wow, these people are just so cool, or they're so inspirational, or, you know, once they finish talking about the projects they work on or how they feel, it's like, man, I want to get up and do something. So I kind of wasn't surprised, but getting to hear it from her point of view, it reminded me of, like, wow, these people are awesome.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself. Now, you've written a novel.
Yes, I've self-published it on lulu.com, and I'm writing two more. Because I guess writing, because my dad's a writer, and writing has always been a big part of my life, so writing is kind of my first passion.
And your dad's very much a part of the security community, too, right? I mean, he's done a lot of security, writing about security.
Mm-hmm. I think he's published 14 books on the subject, and he owns a security awareness company, and he has a very big presence in the community. And for years, I was known as, oh, you're Wynn's daughter. And so I guess this time around, it was kind of like, no, I have a name. It's Ashley. Thank you.
So you've grown up with this. Is his influence, is that how you've got into the hacking community and a hacker?
Oh, definitely, because when I was a kid, you know what I mean, I learned my alphabet on a keyboard, and I grew up using computers to learn how to read and that kind of stuff. And my brother is a total hacker. He's much more technical than I am. I always say I'm layer 7. You know, I'm geeky enough to know what layer 7 is, but then I stay there.
Uh-huh.
But when he first took me to DEF CON, I didn't really know what to expect, and then going back every year after that, it's just like I've become slowly more incorporated into the community, meeting more people, just learning more about how the whole thing works. And I guess I've grown geekier over the years, but trying to explain the scene to my friends back home, or trying to explain, you know, what Capture the Flag is all about, or anything like that, it's like, what? I'm met with blank stares, and I kind of wanted people to understand what I got to be a part of.
So you've submitted the film to 13 festivals.
So far, yes.
And you're waiting on hearing back from them.
Yes.
What happens next? You just have to hear back from them and pray that you get into some of the festivals?
That's part of it. I'm also trying to get it on IMDb, but that requires entrance into a festival.
Okay.
I'm trying to get it into Netflix, because that way I think, you know, more people who aren't part of the scene will have a chance to see it.
Yeah, you mentioned, I think, on your website that you think it's more important for non-hackers to view the movie rather than the hacker community.
Well, yeah, because they're the ones that think hackers are out there stealing credit cards and, you know, stealing identities all the time and breaking into things just for the hell of breaking into things. And it's like, no, hackers are the ones protecting you. We had a small screening the weekend before DEF CON here in Orlando, and I think we had maybe 20 people, and very few of them are computer savvy. And so they came out after the film saying, wow, I had no idea that this is what they did. Thank you. You know, I've learned something. And I was trying to make a distinction between hackers and computer criminals, because in the media, the terms are kind of interchanged, that, you know, all computer criminals are hackers and all hackers are computer criminals. And I was trying to say, no, that's not true. But I had a few friends, I sent copies to a few friends, and afterwards they texted me and was like, wow, I didn't know hackers were so cuddly. Can I have one?
Well, lots of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
So that was Ashley Schwartu of Hackers Are People Too, a documentary about the hacker community. You can check out her trailer at hackersarepeople2.com, and maybe we'll be seeing this film at some film festivals sometime soon. Well, that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.